I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Diana, just Tuesday, just a couple of days ago. Also, she's going to be speaking tonight at Furman University, and so Furman will be hosting her at 7 o'clock tonight. It's open to the public, and so if you want to find out more information on that, you can give Furman University a call and find out where exactly they're meeting there. I just don't have that information in front of me right now. I wanted to say, though, for today's broadcast, we're going to be continuing our discussion through the book. We've been using a book as an outline for our discussions all during the month of January, our discussions dealing with John Calvin. 2009 is John Calvin's 500th, the 500th anniversary of John Calvin's birth. And so in order to celebrate that event, we've been doing a number of broadcasts talking about what Calvin wrote about. And so right now we're looking at that subject. We feel that we really need to look at what John Calvin wrote in the Institutes. We need to look at what John Calvin said himself. And so in order to do that, Ligonier Ministries has provided me with some books, books that I'm giving away, but also the book that we're using as an outline, John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology. There were 19 different authors that contributed to this book. I've had a number of them on the broadcast already. Tabidi was on with me a couple of weeks ago, or I think last week. Tom Askell will be on with me next week. We'll be talking about redemption, redemption defined. Joel Beakey's been on with me, Jerry Bridges, let me look through, Michael Horton, Steve Lawson has been on with me, just a number of guests, Richard Phillips, I'm sorry, and then Harry Reeder, and today my guest, in order to continue that discussion, is none other than Dr. Philip Ryken. Let me just give you a little bit of background about Dr. Philip Ryken. He's the senior pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, PA. He's a teacher for the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Dr. Ryken is broadcast nationally on radio program, the radio program, Every Last Word. He has written or edited more than 20 books, including What is the Christian Worldview, which that term, of course, is very popular now, but he wrote on it and defined that very well in that book, What is a Christian Worldview. He's also written City on a Hill, Recovering Biblical Pattern for the Church in the 21st Century. He's also written some Bible commentaries on the book of Exodus, Jeremiah, Lamentation, 1 Timothy, and Galatians. So it's my privilege to welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program today, Dr. Philip Ryken.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to talk with you on Knowing the Truth, and just to give greetings to your listeners today.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. I love the topic that you have written about, and I want to get to that right away here in the broadcast. But we find ourselves doing this interview in a week where a number of things have taken place. Of course, the inauguration of the new president, Barack Obama. And then today we find ourselves doing this on the infamous anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And so I just wanted to give you an opportunity, Dr. Ryken, to maybe just express your thoughts on those two topics there, and then we'll get right to the discussion about your chapter in this book on union with Christ.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. That's a great suggestion. And, you know, it's easy to do when we're talking about John Calvin, because Calvin commented on almost everything in the Bible and wrote very comprehensively on theology and the Christian life. There's hardly anything that we could talk about where Calvin wouldn't have something relevant to say. Mm-hmm. That's certainly true with both of the topics you've just mentioned, because Calvin had a very clear understanding of the responsibility that believers have to pray for their spiritual leaders and to respect and honor the office that they have been given. Mm-hmm. So, if Calvin were with us today, one thing for sure that he would encourage us to do is to be in prayer for President Obama and other members of his cabinet, our national leaders, particularly at a time like this of transition, a time of concern for our country financially, militarily, and in other ways. Calvin would be calling us to prayer, I'm sure. And also with regard to Roe v. Wade, Calvin is among the clearest of the older theologians on the fact that a fetus is a person. And Calvin wrote very strongly on the subject of life, on the great evil of abortion, which of course was practiced in a somewhat different way in the time of the reformers, but has been practiced in the world since ancient times and has it's long been regarded as a great evil. Is a great evil by the teachers and leaders of the church. Calvin certainly was very strong in his opposition to abortion, and that's good to remember on January 22nd in the year 2009.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned there, of course, praying for the new president, and kind of these two issues can very easily be lumped together. We had then Senator Barack Obama on the radio program and asked him about, you know, his reaching out to evangelicals, but about just trying to bring them on board with his campaign, but talked to him about the fact that obviously with his stance on abortion, it was very, very difficult for evangelicals to do that because he seemed to be so blatantly pro-abortion, you know, receiving 100% voting record from NARAL, also receiving 100% voting record from Planned Parenthood. Of course, he is threatened here, maybe even that's taking place today, but he has said that he will sign that Freedom of Choice Act, which will undo 35 years of pro-life activity. And, you know, we tried to get just an answer out of him about how to square these two things. And unfortunately, we couldn't get anything that substantial, you know, just one abortion is one too many and these types of things. So when you say pray, I'm sure that you mean something along this line. And this is where Christians seem to wrestle with. They understand that the scriptures say to pray for our leaders, but they also are wrestling with that praying for them is not an endorsement for their policies. Would you address that a little bit?
Well, I think that's, you know, part of the wisdom of the biblical instruction to pray for our leaders is just that. We can, the duty to pray is independent of our politics, really. And it's a recognition that in his sovereignty, God has placed a particular person in a position of leadership and authority that has a huge influence on society, and that that person particularly is in need of our prayers for wisdom, for godly counsel, for wise leadership. And surely among the things that we would be praying for the new administration is in exactly this area of abortion, right to life. And I think we are likely to see a number of things happen already this week that relate in one way or another to that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's a matter of prayerful concern for the people of God.
Mm. Speaking of prayer and for the president there, we have about a minute left before the break, so maybe we'll get this in, and then when we come back, we'll switch to the topic. But what did you think of Rick Warren's prayer at the inauguration? Were you pleased with it?
You know, I actually did not hear the whole prayer, so I can't comment on it in full. I will say that I was very pleased, and I did see this part of the prayer, you know, that he was explicit in praying in the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and he's come under some criticism for that, as you know, but he made it clear from the beginning he could only pray as a believer in Christ, and that's the way the believers in Christ do pray. It's
mm-hmm.
it's in the name of Christ, praying to the Father, as Jesus taught us to pray. So I thought it was appropriate and wise and godly for him to pray in that way, which I think is really the only way, as a matter of conscience, that
mm-hmm.
An evangelical pastor could pray.
Well, I think you know, obviously we're glad that he prayed in the name of Jesus. I think that's an excellent point to make. And generally speaking, of course, his prayer stood in stark contrast to the other two prayers, the prayer at the closing of the inauguration and then also the prayer by the openly homosexual Episcopal priest. And so compared to those two, it was a wonderful, wonderful prayer. We'll be back in just a minute with our special guest, Dr. Philip Ryken. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Keep it here. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
Is Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Young people need a lot of free reading to build skills, but some parents worry that their child chooses books that are too easy. Actually, in the early grades, kids need a lot of reinforcement in those easy words. So don't worry, just be glad they're reading. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're speaking with Dr. Philip Ryken about the subject of union with Christ. In fact, let me give you the actual title as it appears, chapter 16 in the book, John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology. The actual title is The Believer's Union with Christ. And so that's what we're talking about today on the program. I want to let you know you can join the conversation with your question or comment. There are two ways for you to do that. One is by simply calling the 888 toll-free number. That's 1-888-660-WLFJ. Let me give it to you in another way. That's 1-888-660-9535. Or I have Twitter up and running, so if you'd like to tweet one of your questions to me, you can certainly do that as well. And the Twitter address there is twitter.com/knowingthetruth, and you can go ahead and send me a tweet, and we'll get your question in that way as well. Dr. Ryken, just before the break, I said we're going to switch gears and talk about this wonderful subject of the believer's union with Christ, or as it's also known as mystical union. Here's here's a definition from Louis Burkhoff, and let me ask you if this you believe is a good working definition for our conversation today. He says this, that mystical union is, quote, that intimate, vital, and spiritual union between Christ and his people, in virtue of which he is the source of their life and strength and their blessedness and salvation, unquote. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great definition from Burkhoff of a very important doctrine. Burkhoff says an intimate union, that shows how close the believer's relationship with Christ is. It's a vital union. That's a way of saying it's life-giving. And it's a spiritual union, which means it's a union produced by the Holy Spirit. And it's a union between Christ and the believer, and as it said at the end of the definition you read, what do we gain? What blessing flows to us? What benefit comes to us by virtue of being connected to Christ in this way? Well, it is our life, it's our strength, and it is the source of all blessedness. And I think the definition you gave is certainly one that John Calvin would agree with and is supported by his own theology of union with Christ.
You mentioned in the opening portion of your chapter that most of the time when we think about John Calvin, we think about the sovereignty of God. We think about, as I was discussing the other day with somebody that you know very well, Richard Phillips. I was talking about the doctrine of predestination and election and those types of topics. Those are ones that are most closely associated with Calvin. But if for folks that have read Calvin may disagree with that, and they may say one of the main doctrines that he has addressed is the doctrine of union with Christ.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I think, not to say that those other doctrines aren't associated with Calvin, and of course, all of the doctrines you mentioned, and really almost any doctrine we would talk about in Calvin, he was far from the first person to be teaching these doctrines, although he brought them, many of them, to a place of greater clarity.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of union with Christ is one of the very important principles of salvation, particularly, that ties together so much of the teaching in Calvin's Institutes and in his theology generally. I have to say that when I was invited to participate in this book, which was a great honor, as you may have mentioned to your listeners, I don't know, it's a book produced in honor of R.C. Sproul, a kind of recognition of his ministry. And I have a great admiration for Dr. Sproul. It was a real privilege to participate in this book. But of all the topics that somebody could have asked me to write on union with Christ would be at the very top of my list. I was very, very pleased to have an opportunity to write on this great doctrine of the believer's union with Jesus Christ.
It's something that is so neglected, I think, today. You know, here we are in the buckle of the Bible Belt, people will say, you know, here in Greenville, South Carolina. And, you know, there's certainly many, many churches here in the area. Many Christian things take place here, events and these types of things. However, this idea of imputed righteousness, this idea of our identification with Christ and our union with Christ just doesn't seem to get much airtime. And I think that it is tied to so many other doctrines that we find in the scriptures, such as assurance of salvation and these types of doctrines. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I do. And I think once you understand the logic of union with Christ and how it operates in our salvation, that understanding helps to tie together so many other things in Christian doctrine, particularly in the doctrines of salvation, but it wouldn't be limited to that. And, you know, I think if you read the New Testament and you realize how many times, particularly in the epistles, but it's not limited to that, how many times that the Bible talks about us being in Christ,
mm-hmm.
or in one way or another where it talks about Christ being in us, or Christ being in us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, once you start to notice that, you see that this is not just a sort of incidental topic, but it's pervasive in the Scriptures, and it's fundamental to the New Testament understanding of what it means to be a Christian. There are many ways to define a Christian, of course, but this is a very simple way of saying it. A Christian is a person who is in Christ.
The flip side of that in our modern evangelicalism is that we constantly talk about the individual separated from Christ almost at times, you know, like an individual standing before God. But I guess as we go through this, the bottom line will be is that we never stand before the Father. We never stand before God apart from our standing within Christ. That we all of the benefits and blessings, God never deals with us apart from Christ. All of the benefits that flow to us as a Christian flow to us through Christ. And so we must start thinking in these theological terms in order to grasp the real depth of the gospel message.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Kevin. You know, Calvin said, look, as long as you are outside of Christ, then the things that Christ has done for the salvation of the world are of no value to you. It is only when you are in Christ that all of the blessings that God has for you become yours. And this is, I think, one of the really the most important statements that he makes in his systematic theology in the Institutes. We must understand, said Calvin, that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, everything he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. But when we share with him, when we are engrafted into him, when we put on Christ, then all that he possesses becomes ours. I mean, it's really a matter of spiritual life and death, whether a person is in Christ or outside of Christ. But as you were saying, once you are in Christ, you should never think of yourself again as outside of Christ, but really your whole spiritual experience for now and through all eternity is something that is tied up together in Christ and with Christ.
No, I was thinking as I was watching the inauguration the other day of that statement that is often made to young preachers when they are sensing the call of God to go into the ministry. I've heard it said this way, that if God has called you to be a preacher, then don't stoop to be a king. And I was watching the inauguration and I was thinking about, you know, wow, what a wonderful experience this man has. The adoring crowds there, you know, in millions in number. What he has achieved in this life and all of these things. But if we were really to understand what has happened to us as believers and the benefits and the union that we have with Christ, these things would pale in insignificance to our standing before God. Do you agree?
I do, and you know, the way I sometimes think about this too in connection with the doctrine of adoption, and which incidentally is one of the benefits that comes to us because we are united to Christ. But there is no greater standing that any person can have than to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God. There's no higher position than anyone can have than to be found in Christ. And I find that to be a great encouragement in the struggles of life, that when we may be very discouraged or feel like a failure, I imagine there are folks listening to us talk today, Kevin, who are feeling discouraged or feeling like they have failed in some way or that life has not turned out the way that they hoped it would. And yet, if you understand that you are in Christ, then from now until all eternity, you have the highest position, the highest place, the highest favor, the highest blessing that any person can have. And that's infinitely more significant than any earthly achievement, although we recognize the importance of the position and place that someone has in earthly terms. It has a kind of importance, but not an ultimate or eternal importance.
Good. Well said. You mentioned a couple of scripture verses. Let me do that for our listeners' sake as well, where this statement of being in Christ comes up throughout the scriptures. And you mentioned also that it would be very easy to, as you're reading through the scriptures, to just bypass these and not grasp the significance of what is being said. But of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Then the next one in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, to the saints in Christ who are at Philippi. And then, of course, in Galatians, where he is speaking in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Galatians, he said, you are all one in Christ. Christ. And so it comes up repeatedly throughout the scriptures, building this case on our wonderful and glorious mystical union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
One thing I would challenge our listeners to do, particularly those who take notes in their Bibles, is simply to underline that little expression. Anytime it is said that we are in Christ or that Christ is in us, that's a good way of highlighting and emphasizing that doctrine as you read the New Testament scriptures.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I get such joy, such assurance of salvation. When assurance of salvation is tied to us, you know, our performance or our sincerity or any of these types of things, you're never going to experience true assurance of salvation, are you? But when you tie it to Christ and his performance and his merit and his satisfaction that he achieved for us before the Father, then we can really achieve real satisfaction.
Yeah, you know, and you know this, Kevin, from pastoral ministry, don't you? How often people that are discouraged in life or in the Christian life can be very doubtful about themselves. But then when you start talking to them about the cross, about the work of Christ, about what he has accomplished for salvation, they can't deny that they know those things are true. And there is a fundamental assurance that comes in looking to Christ.
Amen. We're going to talk more about that in a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. You found it. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. Just a couple points of interest for you. One, you can listen to all the audio files of the broadcast that we do, all the interviews that I've done, specifically on this book, John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology. They're all out there in MP3 form out on our website at www.knowingthetruth.org. You can go out there and they're absolutely free. You can listen to the podcast of the broadcast or download the MP3, and it's all made available there for you. Also, you'll note when you go out there a couple of things. First, I want to let you know that Tom Askell will be with me next week on the broadcast. On Tuesday, the 27th, we'll be talking about redemption. Boy, I love talking about union with Christ here with Philip Ryken for sure, but I also love talking about redemption, and we'll be talking about that on Tuesday's broadcast with Tom Askell. Also, I wanted to let you know that Dr. Phil Ryken is associated with PCRT, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. He won't be at this particular one, but you can go out to their website and find out more about the ones that he will be speaking at. We have one that is going to be hosted by Second Presbyterian Church right here in downtown Greenville, and we've got a number of different, I think 4 different folks associated with the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals will be here speaking. I think we have Jerry Bridges. We have, I'm doing this from memory. Of course, Richard Phillips will be here. And you're going to help me with this.
Yeah, I think Steve Lawson will
Steve
be doing
Lawson.
The pre-conference the day before the conference starts.
That's right.
And so you mentioned Jerry Bridges. Derek Thomas will
Derek
be there,
Thomas.
Very fine Welsh preacher, outstanding communicator of God's Word.
Yes.
So it's going to be a great conference in Greenville. I'm sure some of your listeners must be familiar with Jerry Bridges and just his exceptional way of explaining the Christian life. If you've never heard Jerry Bridges speak, what a privilege to have him coming to Greenville.
Amen. All four of those have been on the broadcast before. Derek Thomas was just on about blogging the institutes. Are you participating in that as well?
I am. It's been a great experience, actually. I've done 5 days of entries. I think they're going to be on the Reformation 21 blog next week, perhaps. I think Paul Helm is doing the blogging this week. It's been an interesting challenge to take three, four, 5 pages of the institutes and summarize them and give some practical application within just 300 words. But if you go to the Reformation 21 website, it's very edifying material. I was just looking at some things Paul Helm wrote today. And if anybody hasn't read the institutes before, what a wonderful way of making a plan to read that great work over the course of the coming year.
Amen. You guys are certainly doing a great work there with making that available to folks. And by the way, there is a reading schedule. You can go out to their website at reformation21.org in order to get that. You can send them an email and they'll email you the schedule. I've also posted one on our website on sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. And so you can get one there as well and then follow the folks there from Ref 21 as they blog through the institute. Steve Lawson, we mentioned, he's been on before. He's got a great book out on the expository genius of John Calvin. We've had him on speaking about that, and you don't want to miss this event. Jerry Bridges was on speaking about his book, Respectable Sins. Just a great discussion. Had a fellow in my church, Mike Tarduno, went out and bought numerous copies of that book in order to give it away for Christmas, and so he did that, and just they're really enjoying now his friends going through a study of that book. And, of course, Richard Phillips, who was just on with me last week, Rick Phillips right here in Greenville. It's going to be a great conference, pre-conference on John Calvin as well. That's a rather small venue, and so if you're interested in going to that, you want to get out to their website very, very quickly and sign up for that event. Let me just, Dr. Reichen could give us the, I think I got it here, is it AllianceNet.org where they need to go?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
www.AllianceNet.org.
Okay, in order to sign up for that. Back to our discussion, and by the way, let me tell our listeners, you can participate in the discussion about union with Christ or the mystical union with Christ as we're talking about it today. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also, I'm on Twitter right now, and so if you want to send a tweet with your comment or question about our discussion, I'll be certain to work it into the conversation here. Also, I've got a couple books to give away. So if you do it either of those two ways, I've got two books left here in the studio. Either of those two ways, we'll make sure to set aside a book for you as well. Dr. Reichen, just before the break, I wanted to switch in our conversation to a statement that John Calvin makes. He uses a term that maybe some of the folks in our audience won't be that familiar with, but he calls it double habitation. Would you expound what he means by that term, double habitation?
Yeah, there are two sides to this union with Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And the Bible uses both of those ways of talking to describe that intimate, vital, life-giving spiritual connection that we have with Christ and in Christ. And so this is Calvin's way of emphasizing that there are two sides to this relationship and two ways that the Bible describes it.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that I was trained in Presbyterian Seminary, actually pastor a Bible church, but we hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Do you feel that that you really need to have a good understanding of covenant theology, the idea of Christ being, of course, our divinely appointed federal head of God's elect, that if you understand that fully, then this idea of the union with Christ will flow, the theological thought of that will flow more purely, and our understanding of it will be much clearer if we understand those other elements as well.
Yeah, that's a good comment. I don't, as far as I know, Calvin doesn't comment on that so directly, but I think it's absolutely true that if you understand the principle of covenant in the Bible, if you understand, for example, what it truly means to be in Adam, as Paul talks about, that Adam was our representative, we're connected to him in a covenant relationship so that when he fell into sin, we fell into sin. If you understand that, and also understand that that Christ is our representative in the covenant of grace, so when we are in him, when we have faith in him, then what he accomplishes for salvation becomes ours. And the work, the outworking of God's covenant is very much bound up in this idea that I can be connected to another person in such a way that what that person is and does counts for me. That's a very covenantal way of thinking, and a good way for thinking about what it means to be united to Christ.
It seems. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say it's also not a very American way of thinking. We tend to think of ourselves standing or falling on our own, and. But in the Bible, there's this strong sense of being connected corporately and covenantally to others. And I think union with Christ helps us see that. It's not just an individual union, but it's we're united to Christ in connection with the whole people of God.
Mm. You would think, you know, that we would be more familiar with this whole idea of a representative principle, since this is the way that our government is structured. But I agree that the legal aspect of what has been done seems to be lost. And people seem to feel that, you know, they come to salvation by God just somehow overlooking our sins, you know, kind of just the idea of forgiveness, the real basis for forgiveness seems to be ignored, or there's a general apathy about it. And this legal or forensic element in all of this seems to have been lost in our modern evangelicalism.
I agree with that. I mean, I think there's a real loss of an understanding of sin as an offense against a holy God. There is a lack of understanding that guilt actually brings us under the judgment of God and makes us deserving of his wrath and curse. And also, maybe partly for that reason, a failure to understand the principle of sacrifice, that it's only a blood sacrifice that can atone for sin. These are just fundamental principles of justice in the scriptures, but not well understood or recognized in the culture generally.
Hmm. You know, do you feel that one aspect of this, especially when we're talking about union with Christ, is that he earned for us a perfect righteousness before God that has now been imputed to us, as Romans chapter 5 states so clearly. Do you feel that that is another neglected element, and because it's neglected, if you believe so, that it really impinges on our understanding of union with Christ?
It does impinge upon our understanding of union with Christ. It also impinges very much on our understanding of sanctification, because I think there are still a lot of believers who understand that when they came to Christ, it was for the forgiveness of their sins, but somehow very easily slip back into the idea of thinking that now their standing before God is performance-based, that their standing with God kind of rises or falls with how well they're doing in the Christian life, rather than understanding that Jesus has already offered a perfect and full obedience to the Father on our behalf as our representative, so that our standing before God could never be improved any more than it already is, and all of our obedience that we offer to God now is a matter of grateful response to the standing that we have. It's not a way of performing better so that we can earn more favor with God. I think people often slip back into a performance-based approach to the Christian life.
Mm-hmm. I think because of that, that's why we get doctrines like the fact that you could lose your salvation over time. Because there's a misunderstanding about how actually we are brought into union with Christ and what all of those benefits are that flow to us, that a doctrine like that could even get a foothold. I remember a statement that was made by John Calvin about that aspect of it, about us never being able to lose our salvation once we've been brought into union with Christ. He said this: once in Christ forever, nothing from his love can sever. And so once we understand these really give us that assurance again, that sense that we are tied to Christ and nothing can ever remove us from that.
You know, all of the blessings that God has for us are blessings that come to us in Christ. It's in Christ that we receive all of the blessings of God. This is very clearly taught in Ephesians chapter 1, and that includes our justification, that is, our being declared righteous. It includes our sanctification, the process by which the Holy Spirit makes us holy. It includes our adoption, which makes us the sons and the daughters of God. It includes our perseverance to the end of the Christian life. It includes our resurrection. It includes our glorification when we are made glorious like Christ. I mean, whatever blessings of salvation you want to talk about, they are blessings that come to us in Christ.
The scripture, you know, of course, teaches this just as you were mentioning there. We keep saying associating with Calvin, but as you pointed out rightfully right at the beginning of the broadcast, that what Calvin did was really highlight these doctrines as they're found in the scripture. It isn't something that is new or created or founded by John Calvin. It's just simply was highlighted throughout his ministry, and that's what we're talking about here today. I want to come to talk about a couple of these words that are associated with this doctrine when we come back from the break. I think we're just examining one word here. We're talking about the eternal aspect of it. We looked at it, the eternal aspect of it, that it's everlasting relationship now, but it really is founded upon the eternal decree that with God in eternity past. We'll mention that a little bit when we come back from the break, and then also talk about a couple of the other words associated with it, i.e. the idea that it's a spiritual union and that it's a vital union. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Whether it's Christian music or teaching and talk, Christian radio changes lives. You found Christian Talk 660.
It's Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee and birds are singing just out.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth broadcast. We've been in a very interesting discussion with Dr. Philip Ryken about the subject of union with Christ, the believer's union with Christ. I love this subject. This is the heart of the gospel message. Unfortunately, so little preached and so little talked about today, but hopefully that changes a little bit today as we talk about it on the program. Let's go to the phone lines. Let me tell you first, you've got under 10 10 minutes now. If you've got a question or a comment for Dr. Ryken about this subject or something else that he's been working on as well, one of his books or his work with Reformation 21, I'm sure he'd answer any of those questions. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Also on Twitter, twitter.com/KnowingTheTruth. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Rick and Gaffney with a question for Dr. Ryken today. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to mention something else that's frequently talked about, and that's the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Where did Calvin fit in that? I'm one of those people that when I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, 2 weeks after that, I had an experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost like Paul did after the road to Damascus experience when Ananias laid his hands on him. I believe, in my opinion, that gives you more enlightenment, I hate to use the word power, but it reveals things more in towards what Christ was all about. Like laying hands on people, speaking in other tongues. Well, what do you come down on that?
Dr. Ryken, I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer that question there from Rick. Rick, let me just say, though, is just to preface that I would personally believe that when you were saved 2 weeks before, you said that you were filled with the Holy Spirit, that you were also received the Spirit of God, because the Scripture tells us plainly that unless you have the Spirit of God, you are none of His. And so I would say, now, when we talk about filling of the Spirit, we'd be talking about a different topic. But with those as just some preparatory comments, let me go ahead and toss it to Dr. Ryken.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Rick, and also for your comments, Kevin, which I think Calvin very much would agree with. You know, it's interesting, in Calvin's Institutes, you don't so much get a separate section on the Holy Spirit as much as all through the book in relation to every doctrine. Calvin shows the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's very much a theologian of the Holy Spirit, and that's very evident in his doctrine of union with Christ, because when Calvin explains the union with Christ, he says, look, what unites us to Christ is the Holy Spirit. That's why we call it a spiritual union. It's the Holy Spirit that unites us to Christ, and as you were saying, Kevin, that happens when we first come to Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit then that communicates all of the blessings of salvation that come with being in Christ. But specifically with this idea of the filling of the Holy Spirit, as I read the New Testament, and Calvin very much would have agreed with this, I do not believe the Bible teaches a unique and particular second experience of the Holy Spirit following our conversion and coming to Christ. But the New Testament way of thinking about this is that we can be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. And this is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. There may be particular times when the Spirit works with particular power. We may be particularly aware of the Spirit's work at some times, maybe more so than others. But this is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer.
Does that help, Rick, in your question?
Well, but in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came down like a mighty rushing wind, like it happened to me, there was manifestations of those, you know, like people, they were drunk. I mean, mm-hmm. They were having, you know, they were just rejoicing so much in the Lord and praising and glorifying Him,
right,
speaking in other tongues. So there is a manifestation that happens there.
Yeah.
When you get filled with that power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure there's people listening,
right,
not only with what happened to me, but they can say amen to what I'm just saying.
Well, Rick, I really appreciate your comment, and would you do me a favor if you would send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org? I'd send you a couple of other thoughts on that particular subject, just on the filling or the, you know, as you're mentioning here, the second work of the Holy Spirit. And I'd love to converse with you on that topic, but for the purpose of closing out the broadcast here today, I think suffice to say that Calvin does speak a lot about the Holy Spirit of God, and folks reading the Institute would see him speaking about the Holy Spirit and his work in the ongoing life of the Christian. Is that fair?
I'll certainly do that, sir.
Please do, and I'd be happy to send you one of these books as well. Just send me that email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and send your mailing address in that as well, Rick, and I'll make sure to send you a copy.
I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thank you. That's an interesting topic that Rick brought up. We just won't have time to go fully down that road here at just the last couple minutes of the broadcast, so I'd love to do that and love to talk about those issues as well. Dr. Reichen, this idea of the not only being a spiritual relationship that we're talking about here when we speak about union with Christ, but we use the word vital. And I think that that's so important, especially so in our particular area, because Christianity here is much more cultural than it is in other parts of the country. So people will have they'll always be pointing backward to a decision that they made. They're always looking at, that they had walked an aisle or signed a decision card or gone up to the wilds and thrown a stick in the fire during one of their youth meetings or something along that line. But they kind of divorce their relationship with Christ in doing that from that vital, ongoing work of the Spirit in their life. Address that, if you would, please, and maybe even some of the comments that Calvin made along that line.
Yeah, let me just be very clear about what we mean by the word vital. Vital doesn't just mean that it's something important, but vital in the true sense of the word is something life-giving. It's the source. It's the source of life. And maybe the clearest way to illustrate that from the scriptures, and this is something that Calvin pointed to, was the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 15 when he talked about being the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. That's a metaphor, that's an image or a symbol that has many different layers of meaning. But part of it is that it's only as we are connected to Christ that we have any life at all. The branch that is not in Christ and not in the vine does not have life. It's the dry and dead stick that will be thrown into the fire. It's only as we are connected to Christ that we have that we have true life. And that's a very I think that's a very helpful illustration that Jesus gives of what it means to have this vital union.
Amen. Well, Dr. Reichen, our time has very quickly ran away from us. We went through most of the chapter that you have written here so well, but I just encourage folks really to get this book and read the entire chapter on it. All of the authors here, of course, have just written wonderfully about what Calvin has said about many of these theological thoughts, but this particular chapter, I would say, would be a chapter dealing with one of the most neglected items in modern evangelicalism today, one of the most misunderstood or ignored aspects of our relationship with Christ, and one, as we're talking about here, to use the word over again, one of the most vital ones connected to our ongoing life and our ongoing success, if you will, or victory, victorious Christian living. So, Dr. Reichen, I thank you for writing about this. Any parting thoughts before we close out the broadcast
today? Thank you for the chance to do that. I'm grateful to be on the show with you today, Kevin. I would just want to say that if people have not read Calvin, and they may think of Calvin as being a very difficult theologian, I would just really challenge them to read even a few sections of the Institutes. You probably get that online or in other ways. What you'll find is he is a very biblical, practical theologian. And the Institutes is divided up into short little sections, it's a wonderful thing to read. And I'm one of my hopes for this year of Calvin's anniversary is that many people will read Calvin for the first time, and it will be a joy to their souls.
Well, that's certainly a good encouragement. I've made the statement myself that many of the people that right away are against John Calvin or the mention of his name, sometimes this brings all kinds of reactions. But I find that some of the people that are against him are against a caricature of him and have not actually even read for themselves the man in his own words. And I just would echo what you just said. Highly encourage people, don't believe the hype and the statements that are made by many other people. Open the book for yourself, and I think just like Dr. Reichen just said, you will find a very, very warm theologian who speaks about many, many topics of related to our relationship with Christ and does so in a way that I think will bless your soul. Dr. Reichen, again, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to just mention this book here once again. This is John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology. It's edited by Burke Parsons with a foreword by Ian Murray. This is put out by Reformation Trust Publishing, which is the publishing arm of Ligonier Ministries. The good folks there at Ligonier Ministries, my good friend right here in town, Mel Duncan, and also just a number of the folks there at Ligonier have been so kind to help us with this series that we've put on. I want to let you know that their conference is coming up, and so go out to Ligonier.org, and you'll find out about the upcoming national conference that's going to be taking place in Florida. Just a tremendous amount of speakers will be there. You won't want to miss this. They're doing a pre-conference on John Calvin. I think Steve Lawson is one of the folks that will be speaking at that as well, and so you won't want to miss it. Just too many names there for me to mention at the close of the broadcast, but go out there and check it out, www.ligonier.org, and you can find out about that conference. You won't want to miss it. Also, I also mentioned the upcoming conference right here in Greenville, and so we've got that conference coming here, the PCRT conference, and so you'll be able to take advantage of that. This is right here at Second Pres in downtown Greenville, so just what a wonderful opportunity we have to have men such as Jerry Bridges and Derek Thomas and Richard Phillips and others will be right here speaking to us right here in Greenville. You won't want to miss it. Next week on the broadcast on Tuesday, Tom Askell will be with me. We'll be talking about redemption defined. Don't miss it.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.